Life can be so good. Life can be so hard. Never know we what each day will bring to where you are. Sometimes I forget, and sometimes I can't see that whatever comes my way, you'll be with me. My life is in your hands. My heart is in your keeping. I'm never without hope, not when my future is with you. My life is in your hands. And though I cannot see clearly, I will lift my voice and sing. 'Cause your love does amazing things. Lord, I know my life is in your hands. Nothing is for sure. Nothing is for keys. All I know that your love will live eternally. So I will find my rest, and I will find my peace, knowing that you'll meet my every need. My life is in your hands. My heart is in your keeping. I'm never without hope, not when my future is with you. My life is in your hands. Though I may not see clearly, I will lift my voice and sing. 'Cause your love does amazing things. Lord, I know my life is in. My weakness, Lord, you carry me, and I become my strongest in your hands. Trust you, Lord. My life is in your hands.
Wow, what a perfect song. Thank you. Glad you guys are here this morning. We're so blessed, aren't we, to get to gather together and worship. Just kind of reminds me we should never, ever, ever take opportunities like this for granted, should we, when we get to come together and worship our Lord. And I know we've got folks worshiping with us online from home and some here this morning, And you know what our prayer and our desire always is, that God would be magnified and glorified wherever we are as we lift up his name together. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer, but I want to share just a couple of thoughts and prayer concerns with you this morning, some folks for you to please hold up in your prayer. One of our precious, precious ladies went to be with the Lord last night, our sweet little Wanda Fricks. We call her our firecracker, if you know her. She was born on the 4th of July. And boy, what a precious, precious saint in the Lord. Well, she's worshiping with Jesus today. But please pray for her family, for Pat and Jack and that family, and lift them up if you would. Also continue to hold up Porter Burns, if you would, in your prayers. His condition is deteriorating, so pray for him, please, and lift him and Melissa and their family up to the Lord. And I know that there are many, many others on your heart this morning. As we continue on with our service that we want to pray for, we also want to just ask him to prepare our hearts to speak to us through his word. So I'm going to ask if you would join me for a word of prayer as we lift these up, and then we also just prepare our hearts before him. So pray with me if you would. Father, we are, God, so blessed and God, even awed, overwhelmed by you, your grace and your goodness to us, Father. Even through the difficulties that we've seen around us and facing our country and the things that we've gone through even as churches, God, you are good and you are faithful and you are true. And this morning, thank you for an opportunity to gather together and to express that to you in worship and praise, whether it's singing victory in Jesus or reminding us of the hope that we have in heaven that one day we'll be with you, Father. We thank you this morning as we gather in this place and we worship together, God, that we have opportunity as the body of Christ to lift up your name today and praise you. You are worthy, worthy, worthy to be praised. And God, this morning we do lay before you these prayer concerns and burdens that are on our heart. Thank you for sweet Wanda Fricks and how she's been a part of our church and how she has blessed us the past few years. And God, thank you this morning that she's with you, worshiping and praising your name. Bless and comfort that family. And God, we lift up Porter and all of his family, his kids and Melissa. And God, we pray that you would just hold them up during this time. You would bless Brother Porter as he's there in that bed. And God, he would feel your strength encouraging him and others in our church family who are struggling and hurting right now, some who are recovering from surgeries. And God, we just pray for your healing hand to be on them this morning. Just let them feel your presence. God, speak to them this morning through your word. Speak words of comfort and healing and grace into each life. And Lord, this morning as we open your word together, Father, we pray that you would just pour your spirit out on us. You would take your truth. God, you would dig deep inside of us with it. You would probe maybe deeper than we've ever been before. And God, although we're looking at a familiar passage, God, may you make it new to us today. God, show us things about you and about yourself. And God, as we probe scripture this morning, God, would you just speak to us, feed our heart, draw us to yourself. You be magnified in this place this morning. Let your spirit fall on us, God, and you move on us this morning in a mighty way, in such a way, Father, that if there's one here that doesn't know you, God, that today they might cry out to you. They might find salvation in Jesus. And God, for believers who may be struggling right now, hurting and maybe feeling crushed under the weight of everything going on, God, may they feel you lifting that burden as we cast our cares on you. God, this morning, Father, take your word. Speak it to our hearts. Change us by your truth, by your grace. And God, what you do here in this place today, we will give you and you alone all the praise and the honor and the glory. We love you. We worship you. We praise you. And God, we want to get out of the way now and just let you work and have your way here. It's in your name we ask these things. Amen. Okay, if you have your Bible, you guys know where we are, where we've been for the past few weeks. If you would be finding that Old Testament passage that is one of a favorite for many, it's one that we're very familiar with, be finding the 23rd Psalm, the Shepherd's Psalm. It's one that perhaps you have memorized. Maybe you have a plaque or a painting hanging on your wall at home that has it engraved on it. Maybe you've heard songs that have been recorded about it. It's the most famous passage, I believe, or one of them, that we could possibly turn to. And as I said a couple of weeks ago, I think the danger that we always run into, the risk that we kind of always run into when we come to a passage like this, is that we're so familiar with it, and we've heard it so many times, that somehow we just navigate right past the deep truths that God has for us from His Word. So I've been so thankful the last couple of weeks for us to have an opportunity just to dig in a little bit into the book of Psalms, into Psalm 23, and kind of take a different look at it. Now, if you've been here for the last few weeks, you know that we're in a series that's called God is Enough. Maybe you've never really thought about what the heart of Psalm 23 is, or what it's really communicating to us. But here's what I want us to do. From now on, whenever you see a plaque hanging on the wall with Psalm 23, or you hear a song about Psalm 23, or you begin to recite it, or you come to this place in Scripture, every time you hear it from now on, I want you to understand that I believe that this song, verse after verse of this psalm, is saying to us, God is enough. God is enough. And here's how we've been saying it the last few weeks as we're kind of working through the psalm, and I want you to get this down. I've even put it up on the screen this morning for you to kind of see it if you're one that's here and you're taking notes today. We've been saying that this psalm is really communicating to us these kind of things, that God is enough to meet my needs, whatever they are, whatever I'm going through. God is enough to meet my needs, that God is enough to give me rest when I'm overwhelmed, when things are too heavy, when the pressures are too great, when I'm becoming weary and the burden of it all. He is enough to give me rest. He is also enough to guide my steps. Sometimes when I lose my way, when I become broken and crushed, when I don't know where to turn or how to navigate things in my life, He is enough to guide my steps. And here's another big one, I think, for us, a timely one for us right now. He is enough, isn't He, to calm my fears. And He is enough to heal my hurts. And we've been singing about it this morning, haven't we? He is enough to secure my future. I love that. And if you think about it, all through the book through this great little chapter of Psalm 23, all through the words of this, it's kind of reminding us that He is enough, that He's enough to help us meet our, He's enough to meet our needs. He's enough to help us when we're hurting. He's enough to kind of calm my fears. He's enough to guide me when I feel kind of off the beaten path where I shouldn't be. He's enough to heal all of my hurts and secure my future. He is enough. So again, when we're finished with this, I want us to be able to look at Psalm 23 and go, you know what that psalm's really communicating to me? You know what that psalm's really saying to me in these times? It's saying to me, reminding me, kind of pouring over me the truth that, listen, all else around me may fail. Everything else around me may give way. Eventually this life will give way. But God is enough. He is enough for me. Now this morning, we're going to kind of lean into that third truth, just the idea that God is enough to guide my steps. And you might say, well, where are you getting that? We're going to be focusing in this morning on verse 3 of Psalm 23, if you're there. But we're going to look at the whole thing here for just a minute. But I want you to think about that. I want you to think about how God is enough to guide me. He's what I need to guide my steps, to give me direction and purpose and meaning in my life. And when my life gets off track or when I get focused on the things I shouldn't be focused on, God is enough to direct my steps. Pastor Jack Wellman says, life is a journey. The Christian life is the greatest journey of all. It's not always easy or fun. But as believers, we know that God will help us through those patches of rough roadway, no street lights, and broken bridges. If you're feeling weary in your journey, take courage. Your guide is Jesus, and your final destination is heaven. You know, when I read that statement this week, when I was working on this message, I thought, you know, what a timely word for us, right? I mean, sometimes right now, life feels heavy. It just feels wearying, doesn't it? I mean, you turn on the nightly news and what do you feel except this heavy cloud, dark cloud of kind of oppression just seeping over us that almost blocks our way, that almost clouds and fogs up where we need to be going in our life. And if we're not careful, it quickly gets our eyes off of where they need to be, even as believers. I want you to know that this psalm is telling us, as believers, as those who follow this God that we're worshiping today, that He is enough to guide our steps. And no doubt, we need that kind of guidance right now. Maybe more than ever right now, we need that kind of guidance to help us maneuver in this sin-cursed world, right? I mean, we need that. We need help in this journey. I do. Let's face it, and we can't mince words about this, right? Life is tough. It's hard. I mean, for those who think when they become a Christian, all of a sudden, all of the roadways are going to be cleared for them. There will be no valleys. There will be no obstacles in the way. There will be no more difficulties. Listen, that's a misnomer. That's a misconception. God's word, as a matter of fact, says you will have trouble, persecution, trials in these world, in this world, in John 16:33, right? But be of good cheer. He has overcome the world. Right? So we get that idea that as we go through this, let's face it, life is tough. It's hard. This journey is often perilous for us in this sin-cursed world, sometimes discouraging, sometimes wearying, even scary at times. But God is enough. Tim Challis says this. He says, the Christian life is not a leisurely stroll, but a purposeful journey. I like that because here's what it reminds me when I read that. Life is not a leisurely stroll. It's hard. There's tough things in our journey. But here it is. Listen to me, Christian. God has a plan for your life. It's a purposeful journey. No matter what you're going through or what you're facing, even as we're navigating some difficult times right now in our country, and we are, let's don't hide that. God has a plan. He's still on His throne. He still has a purpose for us, right? So I love that statement. And then here's Max Licato. Everybody loves Max Licato, right? I mean, he always speaks just this kind of simple, fresh word into situations. And here's what he says. God never said that the journey would be easy. But He did say that the arrival would be worthwhile. Hang on to that one, right? Hang on to that. He never said that the journey would be an easy one. But He said that the arrival would be worthwhile, right? I mean, we know where we're headed, right? We've got to keep the main thing as we kind of focus on where we're. Listen, we need a shepherd, don't we, who will lovingly care for us, but who will also meet our needs, who will heal our hurts, who will help guide us through the fears. But we need the shepherd to walk with us now. We need one who will be with us now in the heart of this. We need one who will guide us steps, step by step. Because here's the truth of it. If you're like me, sometimes I'm indecisive. And I want to know, God, what's next? Where do I go next? How do I navigate this? How do I get through this? How do I take this step? What do I do in this situation? And listen, we serve a God. We have a shepherd, and Scripture's confirming it here in Psalm 23. We have a shepherd who is enough to guide your steps. He can be trusted. Okay, are you there? Psalm 23? Let's look at it. Here it is, Psalm 23. I'm going to read the whole passage. We're going to be focusing on verse 3 this morning, but let's look at it together again. And just be reminded, I know it's familiar to you, follow along in your scripture, but ask God to speak to you afresh from it today. Here we go. David writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Here's where we're going to be focused today. He restores my soul. Christian, listen to me. Does your soul need some restoring, some refreshing? Mine does. Are you longing for that today? What is He telling us? He restores my soul. Look at verse 3. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Wow. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You're with me. It's Your rod and Your staff. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Don't you love that? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a powerful and timely word for us. You know, when I began this series, I told you that I had this professor in seminary one time that says, you know, when things are kind of bouncing, go back to what you know. When life kind of loses its meaning, when tragedy strikes, when you go through, go back to what you know. And I shared with you that in this time of what we've been going through as a nation and even as a church, I felt this kind of call back to the basics, kind of back to what I knew. And it's this psalm that I kept coming back to, thinking, God, I've read this psalm hundreds and hundreds of times. It's a favorite, right? Not just of mine, but of many, many, many people. There have been poems written about it and pictures painted about it by artists and there's plaques made about it. And it's a favorite to many people. But God, I wonder sometimes in times like this, are we really getting what you're telling us from Psalm 23, the simple truth of it? And I love what it says in this passage about how he guides us. And I don't want to bemoan the fact too much because I want to jump right in here. And I want to just give you a couple of truths this morning about how he guides our steps and what he does for us as he guides our steps. And I'm just going to tell you, this feels very personal to me. I just believe that right now we need to understand that we have a God who, even though the way looks dark and the path seems cloudy and we're like, I don't know how to navigate this. I don't know how to get through this. I don't know how sometimes to put one foot in front of the other. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to get through this. Well, we have a shepherd who does. We have a God who is enough to help us navigate the darkest seasons of life. And he knows how to do it. And he knows just what you need, even this morning. I love that when you gather in this place, you don't have to depend on what kind of sermon Buddy put together this week because the Holy Spirit's going to speak. He wants to speak to your heart. He wants to refresh you, restore you, replenish you this morning. He wants to set your feet on that path so that you have this meaning and this purpose. You know where you're headed and you're following the shepherd. So let's look at it. Let me give these things to you real quickly this morning. If you're taking notes, jot some of these things down. I want to personalize this for us this morning, and I want you to think about this a little bit. God is enough and should be trusted to guide your steps. But how does he do that? What does that look like? Okay, if you're taking notes, here's the first thing I want you to see. He guides us this way. He guides us. He guides you and me to a place of renewal. Every time. This is something that the Lord just spoke to me this week as I was thinking about this psalm and I was thinking about this message and about how God is enough to meet my needs and about how God is enough to give me rest and about how God is enough to guide my steps. And I'm thinking, okay, well, where does he lead me? When I go through times like this and life is hard and difficult and sometimes the path seems unclear, like where to go next or how to navigate this or how to get through the difficulties or how does God do that? What does he do? Well, the first thing that I want you to see here is that he guides us. He leads us to a place of renewal. That's significant to me. What it says to me as a believer is this: whatever you're going through, and we're going through some tough times, right? I mean, we've mentioned some families that have lost some loved ones during this time. We've had about 4 or 5 deaths in our church. I don't know if you're aware of that. Those have been tough times to navigate for some folks, right? But what does God do in the midst of that? He leads us to a place where he restores us, where he renews us. Look at your passage there again. I'm just going to look at the first 3 verses because I want you to see this. Again, we're focusing on verse 3, but let's kind of hit it running. Here's what it says. The Lord, and remember that is the proper name of God there. If it's in your Bible, it's all caps if you see that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And what does he do in those green pastures and those still waters but renew us, restore us? See the first 3 words there, verse 3? First 4 words, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You notice it there. Well, what's the first thing that he does for us as he begins to kind of guide our steps? He restores us. He leads us to that place where we are renewed, where we are restored. When you follow God faithfully, he will lead you to a place of renewal. And I'm convinced like never before that we need to be in that place of renewal. We need that. I need that. We need to feel that restoring nature of who God is. The word translated there, if you look at your Bible there and you want to circle the word restores, that word literally in the Hebrew means to turn back. Okay? Remember what I said about just a minute ago, I told you the story that when I was in seminary, I had this professor. He said, when things get hard and life gets difficult, what did he tell me to do? Go back to what you know. Go back to what you know. What does that do for us?
when we go back to what grounds us, when we go back to what kind of founds us, when we go back to the foundation that we have, whether it is the Word of God or prayer or the body of Christ, the church, or whether it's our relationship with Him or those great familiar passages that have fed us, when we go back to that, what does that do to us? It restores us. It replenishes us. It reminds, have you ever wondered, why does Scripture, so much of Scripture, have those wonderful narratives about the great heroes of the faith of old who lived a long time ago? Because sometimes we read those and go, well, what does that have to do with me now? Well, much in every way. He gives those to us because those stories are supposed to bolster your faith. Those stories are supposed to cause you to be restored, to know that the same God who did that in the Old Testament is the same God who is here today to help you navigate these times. That God never changes, no matter what happens. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That God is here this morning, and He's here with you sitting at home this morning. That's the God that will restore you. And so when He says restore, literally it's the Hebrew word, turn back. Turn back to Him. Go back. Go back and be reminded of who He is and what He does and how He restores us. He restores my soul. God has a way of bringing us back to the place where we need to be. And He uses all kinds of circumstances and people and different ones in our life to do that. I love that idea. When I get off track, He gets me back on track. How? By reminding me of who He is. And who needs to be in charge of my life? Folks, like never before, I think we need that kind of restoring and renewal. There is always this call for believers in the church to experience what we call revival, right? And I'm not talking about an organized meeting. I'm not talking about some kind of manufactured 10-day meeting. Revival, that's not revival, that's a meeting. What I'm talking about is a reviving of God's people. And we see the turmoil that's taking place in our nation right now. You know what's going to heal that? God in revival. When revival breaks, what Christians ought to be praying for right now is for a Holy Ghost revival to break out in our land, to draw people to Himself. That's what will heal racial divides. It will. That's what will mend broken brothers, right? That's what will begin to turn people's eyes back to Him when revival happens. You think about the most dark hours of our country. You know what God did? Awakenings. Revivals. They began to spread. Powerful men of God would stand and preach God's word. Sometimes George Whitefield, as an example, would begin to preach in such a way that he could not continue preaching. All he could do was weep. Read about George Whitefield sometimes. He was called the weeping preacher. He would begin to preach, and God would break his heart, and he would cry out to the Lord, and people would flood the aisles to be saved, thousands of them. Why? It's not about who's up here. It's about what God wants to do, and God wants to restore you. He wants to bring us back to Himself. He is a God who loves us. I think of something that Rick Warren said about getting back on track. Here's what Rick Warren said. I like this. He said, renewal starts with the heart. If God is going to renew your church, He will begin it with you. And then it has to continue with the rest of your church. You might call it rededicating your life, being filled with the Spirit, or the deeper life. I don't care what you call it. Just get it. I like that. It doesn't matter to me. If you call it renewal, or if you call it restoring, if you call it turning back, if you call it rededicating your life, I don't care. Let's just ask God to send it. Let's get it, right? Let's lean into that. Because, folks, I believe like never before, we need to be taken to the place of renewal. A renewed faith, a renewed personal walk with the Lord, renewed fire of God, the passion that once raged hot in our life as a believer to once again rage hot. We need a renewal of our love for the Word of God, a desire to dig deep into God's Word and be in God's Word and study God's Word and live God's Word. I believe that today we need a renewal of prayer like never before. I think we throw niceties at prayer. I do. I think we spend a few quick moments with prayer, mostly about when we're in trouble. God, get me out of that, right? I do. But I wonder how much earnest, fervent prayer is really going on. And I suspect that when life gets the hardest, as it has in the past 2.5 months, our prayer lives get really serious, right? We need to be renewed in those basic things in our life, time spent with the Lord. Alfred Lord Tennyson said, more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. Can I just tell you, say, well, what can I do right now? What can I do for my church in this time? What do I need to be doing for my nation right now, as we see our nation torn apart? What do I need to do? Listen, I will tell you something. What you need to do is quit talking about it out there and start talking to Him about it. That's what we need to do. We need to quit thinking that we have some wise nugget of wisdom to throw at it, because I see a lot of that happening. I'm going to tell you, most of that is just agitative. You know what we need to be doing? We need to be throwing to Him our prayers. We need to be praying for our nation. We need to be praying for our leaders, even the ones you don't like. We need to be praying for them. We need to be praying for the things that are going on. We still have folks that are not able to be back at church because of this pandemic that's around us, right? We need to be praying for folks, lifting them up. We need to pray for these families who are grieving. We need to pray that God would send revival to our country like never before. We need to be hitting our knees and praying. Here's what we know about this life. In this life, things get broken, right? That's not hard to see. Cars get broken. Roofs leak. We're going to talk about that later, right? Air conditioning goes out. You're going to want that this week when it's 104 on Tuesday. Air conditionings break, right? Tires go flat. iPhones get dropped. Truth is, our stuff is not the only thing that breaks in this life. We do too. We break. Many of us here this morning are broken. Life is hard and heavy. Sometimes we get crushed underneath it. We break. Society is broken right now, right? And it breaks our heart because we see that. But we have a God who renews, a God who restores, a God who brings us back. David once asked the question in Psalm 42, verse 5, and I love this. He said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" As if he's asking himself. "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" Do you ever feel like that? Cast down, broken, the weight of it so heavy. I mean, you just feel that. The phrase cast down is the same word used for a sheep that has fallen down and is stuck on its back. It's interesting. That's the word, the Hebrew word there. That word, "Why are you cast down?" is the word for a sheep that has fallen on its side and rolls over onto its back and is stuck there. And what are we but a bunch of sheep? And that get broken, that fall down and roll over on our side. Now, this is kind of interesting. I read this about sheep this week. When a sheep falls on its back, its legs will flail in the air, and all the blood will quickly leave them. So get this kind of comical picture in your head about this little fluffy sheep, right, laying on its back and its legs just going, "Help me, help me, help me," right? You got the picture, right? But it's actually deadly for a sheep. Study it sometime. The physiology of a sheep, when a sheep is on its back, causes gases to build up inside of it. Its legs go numb, and eventually it will die. It will suffocate on its back. So here's what a shepherd does for a sheep. He doesn't take it and set it upright all of a sudden. That too would kill the sheep, as all the blood would rush from its head to its feet. So he gently lays the sheep on its side, and he begins to massage it. And once he can tell that the blood has returned to the legs of the sheep, he will set it upright and hold it there until its equilibrium returns, and then set it on its way. Is that not a beautiful picture of what he does for us when we're broken? I mean, God gently massages us, our soul. He gently begins to nudge us back to himself. I can feel him doing that this morning in this place, nudging us back to himself to restore us, to turn us back. He gently begins to massage our soul and our heart so that we look to him and we recognize where our help comes from. And so David said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you like a sheep flailing in the air? You've got a shepherd a God that is enough to guide you, right? How does he do it? He restores me. Here's the second one. You ready? How does he guide us? Well, first of all, he guides us to a place of renewal. That's a part of it, right? When we've drifted, when we've fallen, when we've strayed, when we're cast down, when we're weary, he guides us to this place of renewal. But second, I want you to see this. Not only that, because he tells us this in verse 3, he also guides us to a place of righteousness. Do you see that? You go, what's that talking about? He guides us to a place of righteousness. Notice verse 3 with me again and kind of notice the second idea that's communicated there. The first three words tell us about renewal. He restores my soul. But then he says this. What does he do second? He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see that? So what does he do when he begins to guide us back to us, to guide our steps? What does he do? He leads us to that place of righteousness. Now, I've given you this definition before, but I want you to think about this. What is a good definition for righteousness? What does righteousness really mean? And maybe you've heard this definition. If you haven't, write this down sometime. The word righteousness, kind of at the heart of its meaning, really means being rightly related to God. Or if we wanted to put it in the terms of shepherd speak here, the Lord is my shepherd, right? He leads me in paths of righteousness. He leads me back to that place where I'm rightly related to the shepherd. Why? Because I've wandered away from the shepherd. He leads me back to being rightly related to the one who can care for my soul, to the one who is enough to meet my needs, to the one who's enough to heal my hurts, to the one who's enough to calm my fears. He gently leads me back to being rightly related to him. There's a great old hymn in our hymn books that I just love. I don't know, Nancy shared with you that on Wednesday nights we're doing this Bible study that's called Psalms, Hymns, and Spiritual Songs, and it's kind of just giving the history of some of the old hymns, and then we're doing a Bible study built around that. It's been a lot of fun just to kind of dig into some of these hymns. Well, this is one of my favorite old hymns, and I know I say that about them all, right? But this really is one of them, okay? It's that great old hymn, Come Thou Fount. You know that? Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Remember that song? That's a great... Did you know that that song was written way back during the time of the Great Awakenings? And it was written by Reverend Robert Johnson, and there's a whole lot to that song, and I don't want to read it all, but I just want to talk to you for a minute about why we need to be led back to this place of righteousness. Can I just tell you? It's because we wander. Because we wander away from that God who loves us. And so in the third stanza, Reverend Robert Robinson, I'm not going to tell you the story behind the hymn because he was a man of God that wandered away from the faith and heard the song sung one day and realized he needed to return to God. So that's just a heartbeat, kind of just the heart of that song. But the third stanza of that great hymn says this. Listen to this. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I am constrained to be. Let thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. You know what I love about that stanza is that it's honest. Something sometimes we have a hard time being. You know what he just admitted? Lord, I admit to you that I am prone to wander. I am prone to leave the God I love. And I'm just going to tell you that in our life, there's a lot of things that can cause us to wander away from him, even unintentionally, because here's what you need to know about sheep. I'm going to talk about it here in just a second. They're dumb animals who are oblivious to their surroundings. They put their heads to the ground rather than looking up to him. And before you know it, they've wandered. And we're just like that. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God of love. So here's what I want you to do, Lord. I want you to take my heart and I want you to seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Let thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to you. So what does he do for us? Well, he's God enough, good enough, God enough, right, to guide our steps. And one of the ways is that he leads us in paths of righteousness. And being rightly, he shows us how to do that, how to be rightly related to him. You know, when sheep start to explore a new exciting pathway, it will often lead them away from the protection of the shepherd and the safety of the flock. Sheep are foolish creatures. As a matter of fact, I was reading a thing about them this week that calls sheep one of the densest of all animals. I don't know what that meant. When I first read it, I went, dense as in hefty? I don't think so. I think it meant dense, right? It is said about them that sheep have a naivety about them, a gullibility, certainly an innocence, but a vulnerability that makes them susceptible and especially endangered to predators. That's sheep. That's us, okay? Now, don't go back and look at Facebook later and go, did he just call us dense? No. Did he just call us dumb? No. But we're a lot like sheep, if you think about it. I mean, we're especially susceptible without even realizing it that the enemy is luring us away from the God that we love. That he's constantly dangling those things in front of us that would cause us to leave the path and drift away into things that would get us out of close fellowship, right relatedness with our God. And you know where we need to be right now more than ever? Rightly related to the Father. Rightly related to God. Rightly related to the shepherd of our soul. That's where we need to be today. In that right relationship with him. So, I want to kind of go back to something that Warren Wiersbe said a minute ago. Call it what you want to. Call it rededication of your life. Call it recommitment of your life. Whatever you want to call it, I'm telling you, whatever you need to do to be rightly related to God, get there. Get there. If that means this morning a renewal of your relationship with Christ as you cry out to him during our time of response today, and you say, God, I just want to recommit myself to you. I know my heart is prone to wander even beyond what I recognize. So God, bind my heart to you. I want to come home. You see, that's a part of what it means. God is enough to guide our steps back to where we need to be, back into that relationship with him, back on track with him. Folks, you and I need to be careful where we're grazing. Here's how a sheep wanders. He puts his head down and begins to graze. He will graze from one mound to the next of fresh green grass. And before he knows it, when he looks up, the shepherd and the flock are nowhere to be seen. He's wandered away without even realizing it. And I began to think about that this week. Began to ask myself questions. Buddy, what are you grazing on these days? Really? Think about this, guys. What are we grazing on? I believe that today, often, Christians and believers are drinking from the cesspool of the world and grazing at grasses we ought not to be eating. I believe that. And I think that's why we get discouraged and why we get down and why we get our eyes off of him and onto the world and the circumstances. And you know what happens when that happens? We get discouraged and defeated. We feel like everything about us is bad and getting worse. And you know what? It does look like that out there. But you know what? We have a God who is still on the throne and still in control, and that's where our gaze ought to be. And listen to me, church, we're called to be his hands and feet. If our eyes are on them and are discouraged, we're not being the hands and the feet that he's called us to be. We need to begin to focus on him. I love this. I know, guys, my time is slipping away, but there's so much stuff in here. I feel like I just need to share some of this with you. I love in Psalm 77, 19 through 20, listen to this, because I begin to think about this, and this is so powerful in the word that we're sharing right now. I love this. Here's what Psalm 77, 19 and 20 says. Your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. I read that psalm and I went, what's that talking about? Here it is. Think about this. And I thought this is kind of interesting. You realize that was written some 1,500 years before anyone understood currents or waves in the water. You know what currents are or waves in the water are? Paths. They're tracks that the water takes. But you know what? For you and I, they're invisible to the naked eye. The path you and I ought to be on is invisible to us. But you know who it's not invisible to? Him. Him. And when I read that, I went, wow. God, what you just told me is that although I can't see what you're doing and I don't understand the ways through all of the stuff that we're going through right now, you do. You have a plan. You have a purpose. You have a plan and a purpose for every person sitting in this room that is yours. They're your sheep, the sheep of your pasture, and you're going to direct their path. And here's what you need to understand, sheep. That is, you don't have to see the path. He does. What do you have to do? Be rightly related to him. Follow him. Look where he's leading. All right, one more, guys, one more, and I'm going to get through it. You ready? Here's the last one. So he guides us. Here's how he guides us. God is enough to guide my steps. How does he do that? He leads me to a place of renewal. He leads me back into this right relatedness with him. And third, he guides us to a place of remembrance. This is something I've discovered. When I'm renewed, restored in my spirit, when I'm brought back into right relationship with him, you know who becomes my focus, right? Him. Him. I love this in verse 3. Look at it again. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Underline that. What's he telling us? For his name's sake. He guides me to this place of remembering who my God is. For his name's sake. It's all about him. Even though David, and remember this, even though David was a shepherd, this psalm is not about him as the shepherd. It's about who is the shepherd? God. This psalm is not about David's ability to shepherd his sheep, although I have a feeling he was a pretty good shepherd, right? I mean, later in his life, we discovered that he defended the sheep with everything that he had, right? Killed a lion, killed a bear, and all. I have a feeling that David was a pretty good shepherd, but this psalm is not about his shepherding skills. It's about God's shepherding skills. The focus of this psalm is on the one good shepherd. It's on him. He does it for his name's sake. Do you know that the health of a flock is the greatest testimony about the shepherd? The testimony that a shepherd wants is how his flock's doing, in other words. You get it? What does that tell you about your care? God's reputation is on the line with you. He loves you. He cares for you. He'll do anything for you. He'll draw you back to himself. He may take you through some difficulties in order for you to see your need for him, but he will bring renewal. He'll bring you back into right relatedness with him. Whatever it takes, remember, it's not about you. It's about God. God is in charge. He is our shepherd. He's the one in control. He's the one who receives the glory. I love this quote from Dr. John Piper. I love him. Here's what he says. Listen close to this. This is a lengthy quote, but it's worth the time for you to hear this and think about what he's saying. Dr. John Piper says this: God intended from before the foundation of the world that you and I and all people, from the greatest to the least, would always be sheep. His purpose from the beginning and for all time is that all human beings would always be sheep in need of a shepherd. The point is the same. Glory, praise, honor, admiration, esteem, wonder, all these belong to God and to our great shepherd and not to us. The glory of the great shepherd work is his, not ours. We get the care. He gets the tribute as the shepherd caregiver. We get the protection. Don't you love that? He gets the honor of the shepherd protector. We get the guidance. He gets the esteem as the shepherd guide. We get the provision. He gets the trust as the shepherd provider. We get the joy of being loved like this. He gets the glory. This is the way he designed it. To him belongs the shepherd glory. And to us belongs the sheep joy. And we wouldn't want it any other way. Is that not a great statement? Does that put it in perspective? What am I supposed to remember? He's the shepherd, not me. I am the sheep. I'm to be right related to him who restores my soul and brings me back to himself. I'm to remember him. All glory and praise and honor goes to him. He's the one I owe my life to. I am his. There's a great Christian song that was pretty popular back a number of years ago. It's a good one written by Richard Mullins, and I love it. It's simple. It simply says this: Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning. I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. You get it? God is enough to guide your steps. Have you trusted your life into the hands of that kind of shepherd that renews, restores, that causes us to be rightly related to him? And by the way, you know how we got rightly related to him? Through his only begotten son on a cross, right? Who did that? God did that because he loved you. Restores us, right? And who is it that is to be praised today? The shepherd. Bow with me for a word of prayer. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask Carol to just come and begin to play our hymn of invitation. It's a beautiful one. A beautiful declaration. Take my life. Lead me, Lord. Take my life. Lead me, Lord. I know I've thrown a lot at you today from one verse of Psalm 23. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Right? One verse, but how rich. Reminding us that God is enough. And maybe for believers in this room right now, just between you and him, even while I'm talking, God's calling you to a place of renewal. Recommitment to him. Maybe he's calling you back to this place of right relatedness to the shepherd. Or maybe it's simply a call to you to acknowledge that he's the shepherd and you are the sheep, not the other way around. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to begin our time of response. And I don't know what God might have said in your heart. This altar is going to be open and I'll be here and Trey will be here. And if God's spoken and you need to respond in some way with one of us, we'd love to pray with you. Maybe you just need to come and lay it all out before him. God, I need renewal. I need refreshing. And what I heard today is that you're in that kind of business. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted your life into the hands of the shepherd. And he's calling. You want to know, how do I do that? How do I get into that kind of right relatedness with him? How do I do it? Listen, Trey's here. He'll share it with you. I'll share it with you. We've got deacons all over this room. They'll share it with you. We'd love to have the opportunity to tell you how to be rightly related to the shepherd. It's through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray, and then we're just going to begin to sing this song as a great prayer before the Lord. Take my life, lead me, Lord. And I don't know what God might have said, but if he's spoken to your heart, we're going to invite you to come. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We pray, Lord, that God, you would just begin to move on our hearts and in our lives this morning. God, I don't know what you're doing all over this room. That's between you and that person. But I know what you've been doing in me this week. God, there's been a drawing, a yearning in me. I can feel that. I can feel the renewal and the restoration taking place in me. Do that, Lord. Do that in our church. Do that in the lives of those who are sitting in this room this morning to your glory. God, if there's those who may need to come and respond this morning, give them the courage to do that, to step out and come. And Lord, what you do in this place today, we'll be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise. After all, this is about you, not us. It's not about what church we're sitting in. It's not about who preached today. It's not about that, God. It's about you. The love that the shepherd has for his sheep. So, Lord, we come to you this morning. Give us the courage to respond to your glory. It's in your name I ask these things. Amen. Would you stand with us as we sing our hymn of invitation? Take my life, lead me, Lord. If you need to come, you come as we sing.